ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 2, Text Number 15. The chapter is entitled Prayers by the Demigods. Garbhe Pranite Devakya Rohinim Joganidraya Aho Vishrangshito Garbha Iti Paura Vichukrushu Garbe Pranite Devakya Garbe Pranite Devakya Rohinim Joganidraya Rohinim Joganidraya Aho Vishrangshito Garbha Aho Vishrangshito Garbha Iti Paura Vichukrushu Iti Paura Vichukrushu Garbhe Pranite Devakya Rohinim Joganidraya Aho Vishrangshito Garbha Iti Paura Vichukrushu Garbhe Pranite Devakya Rohinim Joganidraya Aho Vishrangshito Garbha Garbhe Pranite Devakya Rohinim Joganidraya Aho Vishrangshito Garbha Vichukrushu Yohinim Joganidraya Garbhe Pranite Devakya Rohinim Joganidraya Iti Paura Vichukrushu Garbhe Pranite Devakya Rohinim Joganidraya Aho Vishrangshito Garbha Iti Paura Vichukrushu Ladies I Pranite Devakya Rohinim Joganidraya Garbhe Pranite Devakya Yoginim Yoganidraya Aho Vishangshito Vena Iti Paurave Chukrushu Garbe. When the embryo Pranite was carried from the womb, Devakya of Devaki, Rohinim to the womb of Rohini, Yoganidraya by the spiritual energy called Yogamaya. Aho, alas, Vishramshita is lost, Garbha, the embryo, Iti, thus, Paudaha, all the inhabitants of the house, Vichukushu, lamented. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. When the child of Devaki was attracted and transferred into the womb of Rohini by Yogamaya, Devaki seemed to have a miscarriage. Thus all the inhabitants of the palace loudly lamented, "Alas, Devaki has lost her child." Please repeat. When the child of Devaki was attracted and transferred into the womb of Rohini, by Yogamaya, Devaki seemed to have a miscarriage. Thus all the inhabitants of the palace loudly lamented, "Alas, Devaki has lost her child." Purport. All the inhabitants of the palace includes Kamsa. When everyone lamented, Kamsa joined in compassion, thinking that perhaps because of drugs or some other external means, Devaki had undergone this abortion. The real story of what happened after Yogamaya attracted the child of Devaki into the womb of Rohini in the seventh month of Rohini's pregnancy is described as follows in the Harivamsa. At midnight, while Rohini was deeply sleeping, she experienced, as if in a dream, that she had undergone a miscarriage. After some time, when she awoke, she saw that this had indeed happened, and she was in great anxiety. But Yogamaya then informed her, "O auspicious lady, your child is now being replaced. I am attracting a child from the womb of Devaki, and therefore your child will be known as Sankarshan." The word yoga nidra is significant. When one is spiritually connected through self-realization, one regards his material life as having been like a dream. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 2:69, Yanisha sarva-bhutanam tasyam jagarti sanyami yasyam jagrati bhutani sanisha pasyato mune. Quote, "What is night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-controlled. In the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage." End of quote. The stage of self-realization is called Yoga Nidra. All material activities appear to be a dream when one is spiritually awakened. Thus, Yoga Nidra may be explained to be Yoga Maya. Om Jnanati Midandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Mukham Guru Diva Chalam Pangam Mangayate Girim Yad Kipatam Hamande Sri Gurum Dina Tananam Tanishwaram Paramana Ranamaravam. When the child of Devaki was attracted and transferred into the womb of Rohini by Yogamaya, Devaki seemed to have a miscarriage. Thus all the inhabitants of the palace loudly lamented, "Alas, Devaki has lost her child." So it's very interesting point, fascinating point that Srila Prabhupada makes immediately, and that is that even enemies sometimes have some perverted idea of compassion. Just as here, Kamsa, he lamented and joined in the compassion. Of course, we know that his intent was to kill Devaki. But for a split moment there, he had a little bit of compassion. Sometimes we see also in this world how sometimes enemies, due to some false idea of compassion or concern, when the enemy has a little bit of difficulty, they seem to be a little concerned. When in actuality, their intent is to cause harm. But here, it's a very interesting... Srila Prabhupada makes a number of interesting points. And that is that... when one is spiritually connected through self-realization, one regards his material life as having been like a dream. And then he quotes very nicely from the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Earlier in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord explains, Tata vit tu mahabaho guna karma vibhagayo, that the person who's in knowledge does not engage himself in, does not engage his senses or engage in sense gratification. And Srila Prabhupada connects in this, in his commentary here, how that when one is spiritually realized, there's no interest in engaging in sense gratification. And that one engages out of necessity. Sometimes the body needs certain care, just as a vehicle needs certain care. You have to maintain it in some way. Whether you put in oil or you change this part or that part, you have to maintain it. But they're not, the interest is not to simply enjoy the car, or to identify with the car for that matter, but to see it as a vehicle. So the Srila Prabhupada explains also in the purport in the Bhagavad Gita to this third chapter verse, that there are two types of intelligent people. One who's materially intelligent, and certainly there are many intelligent people in this world. They're very expert. They go about making all sorts of plans and research work to advance in material life. They spend a lot of time and energy and trying to conceive of different ways that people can enjoy themselves. So they're very intelligent, there's no doubt. That's accepted. And then there are those who are spiritually intelligent, introspective, as Srila Prabhupada quotes this very nice verse, this introspective sage, that their interest is in doing the needful within this world and wrapping up one's business and not becoming absorbed in this dream. Just as one sometimes in sleeping dreams of being in a far distant land and you're enjoying so nicely with this thing or that thing, as soon as you wake up, it's over. There's nothing there. One may have gone through many emotions, sometimes distressed, sometimes happy. But in reality, it's just a temporary dream. And it really has no significance. Although I think now they do have these people who study dreams, right? They have these psychologists and expert dream interpreters. They like to pick apart what you're dreaming at night and try and create some answer. When in actuality, again, we know it's just an accumulation of past experiences that are from past births, past experiences in this life, and they're simply temporary, and they're only in relation to this material body. But these intelligent people, these so-called intelligent people, like to pick it apart and put some value in it and make a nice living at it. It's very profitable. Right? They have people who read dreams. They communicate. There's all sorts of dreaming occupations. They communicate with the animals, communicate with the trees. They're uniting with everything in the material world, except for the personality of Godhead, the source of it all. So it's simply a dream. Whereas the introspective sage is not interested in such things. And the answer might be why. Someone may question actually why. And the answer would be that Srila Prabhupada gives a very nice answer in that he's convinced of his awkward position in material association. It's a very important point that one has to be convinced that this material world is a very awkward situation. It's very embarrassing. We all have experiences. You do the wrong thing, you say the wrong thing, you act in the wrong way, do something that may be awkward. It's embarrassing. And especially for one in absorbed in the bodily concept of life, it's very embarrassing. Although sometimes there may be some persons who like to turn it around and make it seem like it's some avant-garde thing. It's actually awkward and embarrassing. Just like Srila Prabhupada gives the example of the king with who had no clothes, right? It's embarrassing. Didn't want to admit. Or sometimes he gives the example of, who is it, Charlie Chaplin? Right, who he sat on his jacket and, and it ripped, and the tail of the jacket ripped in half, and when everyone else saw him dancing, they thought it was a very unique or special thing that he was doing, when in actuality it was just an embarrassing situation. So everybody else follows suit. They tear their back of their jacket, and it looks very progressive. When in actuality, it's just an embarrassing condition. So, the learned person, the introspective sage, sees and recognizes the awkwardness of material life, and doesn't engage in this dream making, because that's all it is. We're very serious about at least the materialist is very serious about enjoying in this material world. But just as serious, one has to be about advancing in a spiritual life. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives this instruction to Sarvabhauma. Niskinchanasya bhagavat bhajanan mukasya paramparam jigamasvar bhavasa agarasya. That just as serious as people are to engage in this material world, and they create all sorts of phantasmagoria, and it's going to be like this. As soon as we get together, we're going to have such and such of a dream life. And it happens every moment of the day. People are making so many fantastic dreams and creating so many illusions. And they're very serious about it. So just as serious, one has to be about giving up this material life. And just as much energy as the conditioned souls, the materialists, the karmis, are in their research making, their plan making, subsequently suffering like crazy in their dreams. The spiritualist has to become just as serious to become absorbed in the process of devotional service. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives some guidance in this regard in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where he describes to or instructs to the Kurma Brahmana, Yare Deki Tarekaha Krishna Upadesh. He explains to him that the process to become serious about spiritual advancement is to spread the process of Krishna consciousness, the philosophy, the understanding of Krishna consciousness with everyone. With anyone and everyone. And he explains to Kurma that if you do this, then your material life at home will not obstruct your spiritual advancement. Which is very important, because how do we balance the two? Even in Krishna consciousness, sometimes we see how we sort of slant toward one direction. One may be very enthusiastic about spiritual life and neglect the family, and things break up and go in an awkward direction. Or sometimes it's too much on the other side, and one goes away from Krishna consciousness and becomes very absorbed in material life. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives the remedy, and the balance is to become absorbed in distributing and sharing Krishna consciousness. We all have that experience that when you, and Srila Prabhupada explains that the best way to control the mind is by preaching. When the mind becomes the deciding factor, then we may go this way, we may go that way, we don't know which way we're going to go, up or down, how to engage. But as soon as it's controlled in the preaching work, and of course there's the preaching work can be very variegated. It's not that it's just on the street or that it's just on the altar. It's there's many different ways that one can engage. That is a and that is the common the foundation or the common denominator in bhakti, that there are so many different engagements that can be there, but as long as it's directed towards satisfying the Lord, it's there for the preaching mission. So many engagements can be there. It's unlimited. And he further explains that not only will it not obstruct your spiritual advancement, but you will never lose my company. And this is also very important, that if we don't keep Krishna in the center, that we're doing this for him, then there will come a time when one wakes up in the morning and you start thinking, I just can't do this anymore. Surdas relates a very nice story. I won't get into it, but one devotee was struggling, rising, and just came out saying, I just can't do this anymore. So, we don't want to go there, obviously, right? We don't want to wake up someday and I just can't do this anymore. And by instead of 4:30 in the temple room greeting the deities, we're at 4:25 walking down the street with our backpack. That's not the solution. And fall into this dream world, because all it is a dream. We may be insulated a little bit here, and we're thinking that we're nice and comfortable, and maybe just too comfortable. Maybe I need to go out and explore. I'm tired of this comfortable life. I need to go out and experience something. You will, no doubt. When you get out there, you'll be kicked quite severely. Surdas sometimes gives his story of this one devotee who was in St. Louis, this young man who was in the temple for some time, and he left, and something happened that a dog jumped and bit off his nose. True story. We're not laughing because it's a funny thing, but we're it might have been funny, but it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate, but we're convinced that for the moment anyway, that there's something better. And so we create some dream in our minds that we want to explore, and or we want to create some program that will be there for the benefit of all. We went to some engagement a couple weeks ago to City Hall, where the mayor was having a conference on diversity and unity, something like that, celebrating the diversity of society, of particularly Los Angeles, or the city of Los Angeles, which they're very proud to claim is the most diverse city in the world because of all the different languages and cultures and religions. It's considered the most diverse city in the world. So all these people are there, and they're all talking about them. There were different speakers there, and they were all, one after another, they were giving their 2 minutes about how proud they are to be American Indian, or from the Jewish community, or from the Black community, or from the or this group or that religion. It went around the corner. I mean, around the table. It was just 20 minutes, 45 minutes of these discourses. But really, there was no. No one really got to the heart of the matter, that we're not these bodies. But instead, it was all about we're all these bodies, and we should respect each other for that purpose. And so it was just an empty discussion. And afterwards, the mayor was walking out to exit, and we went up to him and gave him a Glory of India book. And he was very nice, very cordial about it. He said, oh, nice to see you again. He was very polite. And I told him that this is a very special book. It's the... it's a very nice book about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and he recognized us from the year before because we gave him a Bhagavad Gita. And so he was very polite, and I told him that inside here you'll find an invitation to the Rath Yatra festival down at Venice Beach. And he said, oh, that's very nice. I've heard about it, and it's very special, and we'll see what we can do. But again, it was one of those exchanges where, again, people don't really... They come up with all sorts of dreamy ideas in how to... try and solve the problems of society, or the conflicts of the society of the world. But really, there's never any answer. A week later, we went to the breakfast that he had at his residence here, and the theme of that one was compassion. Right, he said, actually, he told me that you should come to our breakfast. And I said, okay, we have an invitation, so we'll be there, we'll see you. So we went to the breakfast, and the whole theme was compassion for the homeless, and for the suffering masses. And one after another, there would be different various speakers that would come up, and they would say this and that, and... about the homeless people and what their organization is trying to do. And then the mayor came up and spoke. And after his speaking, he opens up the floor to the audience to give some kind of prayer offering. Oh, I pray that such and such happens, or I pray that such and such happens. And so different people stood up and they were saying, "Oh, I pray that you know that that Los Angeles become more tolerant in its diversity, or that just different things like that." And one after another, there was nothing there. And then finally, Jagjanani stands up. My wife stands up. And she says, "I pray that that Los Angeles become more compassionate, not just to the two-legged, but to the four-legged, and those with wings." And then people started clapping. "Yeah, very good, very good." Afterwards, some of the other attendees came up and thanked her for her offering. And then afterwards, when the mayor was exiting, we gave him a higher taste and told him that this is all about exhibiting compassion toward all living beings. So, again, for the materialistic persons, they have some idea of addressing the problems of society. But all it is a dream. And without... But the Vedic understanding, the process of Krishna consciousness, is offering some substance. It's reality. And as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends, that means spreading Krishna consciousness to everyone. It's the remedy for solving the problems of this dreamlike world that we're unfortunately absorbed in. So we'll end there. Are there any questions or comments? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Mm-hmm.